comes from Acts chapter 9, 36 through 43. Hear now the word of our God. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who had heard Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and the widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Dorcas, Tabitha, Greek, Aramaic. Peter uses both names even in his conversation with her. And so what's up with the names? It made me think about our staff meetings. Now, my staff, your staff, is crazy about having staff meetings. It does give us a chance to come together, to get ourselves organized, to know who's going to do what when, to look at calendars, to not overlap each other, to know who's depending on each other, to coordinate, to communicate, all those things. They get bone weary sometimes of staff meetings. Their favorite thing to do at staff meeting is for me to tell them what they did right and what they did wrong. They don't like that part. When we go into evaluation, they don't like that part. In order to make that medicine go down, you have to add a little sugar to it. And so sometimes we play a little bit. One day, I remember very clearly, we gave each other Native American names. Is Miss Frankie here today? Do you know you have a full-blooded Choctaw in the congregation? I was going to tell her about these Native American names that we gave each other. It reminded me of this text of Tabitha, Dorcas, it's the same person. What's up with the names? I thought you might enjoy hearing the names that we gave each other. Now, some people have joined the staff since we did this, and so I just took the liberty of naming them so that we wouldn't leave anybody out today. You know, we don't like to leave anybody out. So here are the names. Chris Tinch was known as Princess Runs with Scissors. Steve was here when we did that. Steve, you remember what your name was? I'm going to. His name was Full of Bull. Kathy Brannon is Princess Smoking Chimney. I named Jeff. He is brave, sure and steady. Alan is brave, lots of wind. Dolly, if you've ever worked around Dolly, Dolly is Princess Nervous Hummingbird. Alexis is lots of noise. Lavanya is Princess Plays with Kids. And Paula is Princess Put Me In, Coach, Put Me In. Bill is Chief Many Fingers. And so now you know our Native American names. Well, you know, I couldn't remember mine. And neither could anybody else, which shows you how important I am around here. I called Josh Roberts and said, what was my Native American name? And he said, gosh, let's see, Chris was, and went through all of them, but didn't know mine. And so I knew you would want to know something, so I just made one up for me. My name is Princess, lots to do and lots to say. Fitting. This text is more about the miracle than the main character, whatever you decide to call her, Dorcas, which is her Greek name, or Tabitha, which is her Aramaic name. This text is more about the good of the community than the miracle. And this text is hard for us to relate to in this day and time. This is not one of those that's easily transferred from century to century. What is this about resurrections? How many of you have ever seen a resurrection? That's what I thought. It scared me. Now, I just tell you, it would scare me. But in medicine, every once in a while, somebody does, their heart stops beating, they stop breathing, you have a flat line, and you are able to do CPR and give them medication and bring them back. That's called resuscitation. You know the difference in a resurrection and a resuscitation? If you're resurrected, you're resurrected. If you are resuscitated, you're going to die again. But that's after Jesus. You see, that's after Jesus. Right now, Dorcas has died. And they send for Peter, who was one of the disciples, but also a key figure in the history that we're given. They said, come, Dorcas has died. Dorcas is good with all the widows. She's good for the church. She's one of our matriarchs. She gives all the receptions when there's a reception to be given. Please come. Dorcas has died. And so he went. Interesting that he ran all those widows out. Take your tunics and all that stuff and go away. I need to pray. And so he prayed and took her by the hand and raised her up, the scripture says. Now, that's hard for us to relate to, but what if we move it from the physical to the spiritual? Now, how many of you have ever seen a resurrection? Well, let me invite you here on a Thursday night or a Saturday night. Any Thursday night, any Saturday night, year round. Just walk up to the gym. There'll be some cars parked up that way. Maybe some people sitting outside on those benches. But you go there because there's an AA meeting going on Thursday night and Saturday night. Every Thursday night and every Saturday night of the year. And you'll see some resurrections. You with me? If you are a Braves fan, you may be praying for some resurrection. But the last two nights, the boys have come forth. Maybe we're in the early stages of a resurrection. If you're a golf fan and you watch the Masters, you remember a golf player in the Masters by the name of Jordan Spieth. You know what happened to him? What happened to him? He fell apart. He blew it. The last three holes, he lost the Masters. But let me tell you that he also won, after losing the Masters, the respect of all the sporting world and other people besides. One sports writer has this to say about him. We usually think of athletes' grace as physical quality. On the tennis court, they dance around light-footed. They can catch a ball in midair. They can slam dunk with the greatest of ease. But as he watched the Masters golf tournament slip away from him this past weekend, former champion Jordan Spieth showed us elegance of another kind. Here was the grace of an athlete keeping it together emotionally in the face of defeat. He did it stoically, respectfully, even perhaps a little fondly when he put on the jacket of a competitor of his who had won. During the putting on, he has to do this three times, by the way, three different locations on the course. He has to slip somebody else's arms into that green jacket. At one of those tries, the collar popped up and his jacket looked unkept. And Spieth smoothed it down, got his collar in place, patted him gently on the back, even showed a little fondness. Resurrection. Resurrection. Now, let me show you one more. This one I'll set up for you because it's a video. This is an autistic child, maybe 12 years old. He is performing in front of a whole group of people, and he's dressed in Olaf's costume in Frozen. Now, if you're not a parent, you may not have seen Frozen, but if you're real old and you don't have any children or grandchildren that would cause you to watch that, watch it anyway. It's a good movie. And he has decided that he will sing Let It Go. He forgets the words. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. To the slam and door. I don't care what they're going to say. If the storm rains when he forgot the words and he couldn't sing it anymore, the whole audience began to clap. They got him back in rhythm. They began to sing. They were feeding him words. That's resurrection, people. That's resurrection. Now, let me tell you about another resurrection that hits us much closer home. In June 07, I came to Chamblee. I began to study the demographics, not just of your church, but of the community, and this is where you were. The population in Chamblee was decreasing, not increasing. Businesses were moving out, and the school reports were not good. And they weren't projecting any growth in the school system right around you. People were moving in order to get out of this school district and get their children in another place. Five children came forward for the children's sermon my first Sunday. We were stealing parts off of air conditioning and heating units in a part of the building that we had just closed off and weren't using anymore because our system was so old we couldn't buy parts. They weren't manufacturing parts anymore. Our average attendance was in the high 100s some Sundays on good Sundays. And you said, we want to change. You came together as a people and said, we need a vision. And you began to create not a vision on a piece of paper, but a vision in your hearts. And this is what you did. You said, we want to grow in numbers and grace. You said it out loud and wrote it down on pieces of paper. You said you wanted to become more financially stable. You said it out loud and wrote it down on paper. You said You wanted to improve your facilities, add to your staff and program, and you want to concentrate on young families with children. And you wrote it down on a piece of paper. Those were your top three goals. You visioned that. You dreamed that. You were willing to work for that. And that became our statement. Well, you did it. You did it. I don't know how to say that a different way. Now you're doing it again. We began to publish those goals in bulletins. We hung them on walls. Everywhere you looked, somebody was saying that. People were moving. You opened your doors. You welcomed young families with children. And when they wrote on the walls, you simply painted over it or left it there for a few days to be a trophy. And I've watched people walk upstairs holding on to the handrail and feeling the sticky from candy that children had gone up. And you know what you did? You didn't gripe and carp and complain. You went and got a little wet towel and wiped it off and kept right on going. Good for you. That's resurrection. That's resurrection as it's at its absolute finest. Peter went to Tabitha, to Dorcas, to whatever you want to call her, and took her hand and raised her up. Many of you went to work. Some of you continued to work. And most of you gave sacrificially to make all this resurrection happen. You reached up and grabbed hold to God's hand and said, we're marching to Zion and nothing can stop us because we know that God is in it. I was able to witness that. I will forever be grateful to the superintendent and bishop that sent me to this place to be able to witness your good work. Your resurrection. Now, if I had to go out in the congregation and pick out a few people that helped with that, I'd be hard-pressed because there's so many of you. But it didn't stop there. And you didn't say, okay, we've done it. Let's just sit down and rest now. We'll just sit right here and wait for Jesus to come. You said, let's do it again. Let's do some more. 27 houses going next door. 42 townhomes at the top of the hill. Let's go get them. You are to be commended. And I'm going to give you an opportunity today. I usually don't do this touchy-feely stuff. It just kind of is not in me. That's my brother that likes all that stuff. But I'm going to give you an opportunity today to get up and leave your seat and go to someone, anyone, in this congregation that has helped with your resurrection, that has helped corporately in this resurrection that you'd like to thank, or has helped you individually become a better person to be raised up for God's sake and for Christ's kingdom's sake, I want you to go to them and shake their hand. Stand up and move. I would do this, but y'all going to be mad at me if I go to one and not the other one. You're just going to make you mad. And so I will call out my staff and say, praise be to God for such a staff that I have. They save my life every day of the week in one way or another one. Sometimes they cause me to pull my hair out. I was not this gray-headed when I got here. But they're a good staff, and they're loyal to Christ. And not a single one of them have a job. They have a vocation. They have a calling. And what they do for Christ's sake is you're the beneficiary of those ministries in this church. So that's, I would go to them very first of all. But move. Get up. Go find somebody that has helped this church and that has helped you in your individual resurrection or in the resurrection of this church. Go shake their hand and tell them thank you.